السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. صدق الله العظيم. Ulama Ikram, most respected brothers, our sisters at the madrasa, and those listening over receivers. This ayat of the Quran Sharif you must have heard so many times from me in my bayans, and you must be wondering that why do we repeatedly recite this ayat? Because Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is addressing us and ordering us, Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu taqullah, fear Allah. Have that khawf in your heart of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's azab, of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's displeasure. One school, Muslim school teacher, says that I was teaching in the class, and when I spoke about Jahannam, about azab of qabr and azab of akhirat, so I received complaints from the parents that you mustn't talk about azab of qabr and azab of Jahannam, because it frightens our children. So I said, indeed, you must use hikmah, you must see the age of the children, and you must not frighten them. Don't put such fear into their hearts that they begin to dislike Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. At the young age, at the tender age, give them a lot of hadiths of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, ayat of the Quran Sharif on Jannat, the ni'mats of Jannat, and what will you get if you have to please Allah Ta'ala. The same thing you say the other way around. What will you get if you have to please Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala? And children, if you have to give them some incentive, they are quick to grab on that incentive. So if you tell them that if you have to make your salat, Allah Ta'ala will become pleased, and these are the rewards that Allah Ta'ala will give. If you have to be honest, if you have to be truthful, if you don't steal in class somebody's pencil, somebody's pen, somebody's bag, then Allah Ta'ala will become pleased. And these are the ni'mats, and these are the bounties, and these are the gifts and rewards that Allah Ta'ala will give to you. So now the child will look forward to that. But at the same time, you have to mention something about the azab also. But for the little children, then you mention it in a little different way. However, here we are talking to adults and people like us. When we become completely negligent and indifferent to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's ahkam, so then we have to be told about the azab of qabr, azab of akhirat, that if we cannot seem to develop that much love for Allah Ta'ala, which should be the real factor that restrains us from sins, the love of Allah Ta'ala, that His ni'mats and His bounties upon us are so much, that we just can't count. إِن تَعُدُّ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. Wallah, when we just think of Allah Ta'ala's ni'mats upon us, we just cannot make enough shukr. Even if we have to keep our heads bowed in sajda until the day of Qiyamah and make shukr of Allah Ta'ala, we cannot do justice. Because you will have to make shukr over that ni'mat also, that He gave you the tawfiq of keeping your head down and making shukr of His. So for that also you will have to make shukr. Nevertheless, so Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, when He says fear Him, it's not that He's putting fright and fear into our hearts. Many times I have discussed this, that this fear that we are talking about is the displeasure of Allah Ta'ala. When He becomes naraz, when He becomes unhappy, displeased, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala unleashes His azab, and then we suffer. So in this ayat, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is addressing us, Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu, O ye believers, you have believed in Me. So So therefore it should be easy for you to accept it, that fear Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Fulfilling that right and haq of khawf. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, look at his khawf. Look at the sahaba ikram's khawf and fear. And yet many of them were given glad tidings that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is going to definitely give them jannat. But because of Allah ta'ala's azmat in their hearts, that we must not do anything that even though he has promised us jannat, but he becomes displeased with us. We must not do anything like that. Sometimes a father has promised a child because the child did very well in the examinations, and the father promises that I will give you a car, I will give you this, I will give you that. But then between that time and the delivery of that car, that father could, due to annoyance, displeasure, unhappiness, where the child did something now which was displeasing, Allah, that person, that father can withdraw that gift. Although Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will never, never, ever go against his promise. Whatever Allah ta'ala has promised, then he will fulfill that promise. But out of that azmat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, they still had that khawf in them. It's not that they did not trust Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. If he promised them, then it was the truth and nothing but the truth. But that azmat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. If a person is told that if you go into the Kruger Park, then there are no lions in a certain area. If you drive there with your windows open, there's no fear. But still, when the person knows that there are lions around in that jungle, the azmat of those lions, that person has still got some kind of khawf and fear inside. Now Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is not a lion or a cheetah or a ferocious animal. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is full of love, full of mercy, full of kindness. And he wants to give us the best in Jannah. So wherever we go, we find that people are ready. If you have to give them some kind of wazifa to read, some kind of zikr to make, some kind of mamulat, for that they are ready. But when it comes to sins, then we are extremely negligent. We just don't want to give up sins, but we want all the kindness and mercy and blessings of Allah Ta'ala. So Faqih Abullah Samarkandi Rahmatullah Alayhi, in his Tambihul Ghafileen, besides the many, many things that Allah Ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran Sharif and so much in the Hadith Sharif with regards to sins, and read Jazaul Amal of Hazrat Maulana Shaykh Ali Sahib Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi, and so many other kitabs, read Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Alayhi, Zihya'ul Ulum, His Kimya is Sa'adat. So many chapters there are there on what are the harmful effects of sins. What does it do to a person? The nations of the past, on what they were destroyed. If they were doing good deeds and pleasing Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, would Allah ta'ala have destroyed them? What was the need to destroy them? مَا يَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ بِأَذَابِكُمْ إِن شَكَرْتُمْ وَآمَنْتُمْ Allah ta'ala gets no pleasure. What will he do by punishing you? Will Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's glory increase if he has to punish you? Will Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala enjoy some kind of happiness in punishing? What will he get out of that? So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala does not enjoy punishing. So he mentions, he says that besides the many, many other things. But for any Muslim, and this is a majlis of islah again, as we say, the majlis of zikr has got its own fragrance and flavor. So the majlis of islah has got its own fragrance and flavor. Majlis of islah, this is what we talk about. How to make islah of our nafs. Because this is what is causing problems in our lives. It is our nafs, our egos, our passions which are causing problems in all our activities of life. In our home life, in our business life, in our political life, everywhere. It's the same nafs. And that is what we don't want to pay any attention to. So he says the first thing that sin brings is the displeasure of Allah Ta'ala. The first thing out of the ten he says is the displeasure of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala becomes displeased. Now when Allah Ta'ala becomes displeased, so how can that person expect to get happiness in his heart? Allah Ta'ala is displeased and unhappy. And we are a creation of Allah Ta'ala. We are creatures who do not have control over our lives, over our health, over our wealth, over our properties. What do we really have control over? is just for the purposes of this world. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, out of His mercy and kindness, He allows us some kind of authority and control. The person says, I own this house, I own this property, I own this land, I own this shop, I own this gold and silver. But in reality, does he really own it? Is his life in his control? That ground on which he walks, that ground which he says, this land belongs to me, I paid millions for this land. Is it in his control? Just one hukam of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and that ground shakes, he too will go and the ground will disappear too. So it is all in the control of Allah ta'ala. Now what is the best way to get from Allah ta'ala? The best way is by pleasing him. Now here the person is indulging in sins. And Allah ta'ala does not give the crown of wilayat. That crown of wilayat, that crown of his friendship is not given on how much ibadat you make, how much zikr and tilawat you make, or how much dini activities you engage in. It is on taqwa. In awliya'uhu illa al-muttaqoon. And taqwa is the giving up of sins, restraining oneself from that which is haram and forbidden. Not to make salat is haram. Not to fast is haram. Not to give zakat is a sin. Not to make hajj, if it is farz, it's a sin. So you can see that everything that is sinful, you must give it up. That means when it comes to salat, then we have to make our salat, because it is sin not to make salat. So everything is in it. So he says the first thing is the displeasure of Allah Ta'ala. And by now it must be 120 times that you heard, jisse hain aap khush is jahan mein, wo shab o roz hai gulstaan mein. Jisse hain aap khush is jahan mein, wo shab o roz hai gulstaan mein. Dekh kar mere ashke nadamat, abre rahmat ki barish hai jaame. With whomsoever, Allah, you are pleased. Day and night that person is in gardens. Day and night. Inside his heart, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives him such enjoyment. He enjoys that closeness of Allah ta'ala. That happiness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he experiences in his heart that my Allah is happy. And that gives him such joy and such happiness that the kings don't know of that, because it's given inside the heart. Nobody sees it inside. The Allah wala's Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that's why gives it to them in their hearts. Outside sometimes they don't have anything. And we look at the outside and we say that how can this person be enjoying any kind of closeness of Allah ta'ala. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's pleasure brings pleasure into the heart. And Allah ta'ala's annoyance and displeasure, then that brings azab of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So the first thing is that Allah ta'ala becomes displeased. Sins, the first thing that it does is it displeases our Creator. And that person is a namak haram who uses everything that is given by Allah ta'ala, and then he displeases Allah ta'ala with those very bounties. This is what we are crying over. That we are spending the money given by Allah ta'ala, the health given by Allah ta'ala, the sight given by Allah, our speech and hearing and everything by Allah. And what we use it for his displeasure, for his annoyance, for his anger. We don't appreciate these ni'mats. So then we become namak haram. We should be singing praises of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala after eating that which he has provided, instead of disobeying him. Because when we eat, we get strength in the body, then the person goes and commits zina. But if he was tied up in the hospital bed with all the tubes and needles and everything in his body, then at that time ask him now, would you prefer zina or good health? And see what he has to say. So the displeasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is the first thing that happens. We should be singing Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's praises. The more ni'mats we get, sing his praises. Use it correctly. And then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will become pleased and he will increase it. And he will give it with his happiness. And when he gives it with his happiness, then we'll get sukoon in our hearts also. If not, there'll be nothing but restlessness with everything that we have. The second thing that it does is it is the cause of the pleasure of shaitan. Without going to the details, but the second thing is that it causes the pleasure of shaitan. So the displeasure of Allah Ta'ala and the pleasure of shaitan. Now, is that person a sensible person who pleases the enemy of Allah Ta'ala and his own enemy? Shaitan has declared that I am your avowed enemy. He has declared that he's our enemy, and he will mislead, misdirect. He will take us on the wrong path. He will take us to Jahannam if he can. He will make us disobey Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So he who is the enemy of Allah Ta'ala and the enemy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the enemy of the Sahaba ikiram, radiyallahu anhum ajma'een, the enemy of the Tabi'in, Tabi'a Tabi'in, Awliya, Mashayikh, Ulama'i Haq, enemy of the Muslim who wants to go on the straight path. Is that a sensible thing that we are displeasing that enemy? And the one who is saying also that, look, I am your enemy. I am not going to stab you suddenly. I am your enemy. And I'm looking for your weakness and your shortcomings, and I will mislead you and misdirect you. So it becomes the means of the pleasure of shaitan. Shaitan becomes happy that now this person has committed sins. So who are we pleasing? We are pleasing shaitan. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ, that don't die except in a state of Islam. In obedience, that you must never die except in a state of obedience to Allah Ta'ala, submission to Allah Ta'ala. Now that person who is committing sin, at that time if his death comes then he did die in the obedience of Allah Ta'ala. Did he die in the submission to the will of Allah Ta'ala? Was Allah Ta'ala happy and pleased with him committing that sin? So what kind of a death will that be? And recently, how many deaths are taking place? Travel out and see what is happening. You listen to stories, it shocks us. What places people have lost their lives. In what kind of sins, while they were indulging, suddenly the roof collapses, suddenly there's an accident and the person is gone. The person is parked somewhere and is sitting with the illicit beloved, courting, and suddenly there's a hold-up, hijacking, and both of them are shot and killed. So many places people are dying. In cinemas, discos, theaters, gambling dens. Now this person who is in sin, if his death comes, then we will say that this ayat of the Quran Sharif, which as I said you have been listening to many, many times, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. So will this person be fitting in? That he's died in a state of Islam. Indeed, he's a Muslim. We won't say that he died in kufr. But to die in sins, is that something good for a Muslim? So the pleasure of shaitan that he gets, and the displeasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. This person, he comes close to the fire of Jahannam. The person who is committing sins, the third thing is that it brings him close to the fire of Jahannam. That he is on that road now, that route now. After he dies, then that is where he is going to go. Unless, of course, he makes sincere tawbah, then from any sin, if he makes sincere tawbah, it is a different story. Here we are talking about the effects of those sins. That it brings the person close to Jahannam and distances him from Jannat. So third one, close to Jahannam, and fourth one brings him close, distances him from Jannat, from paradise, he goes far away, and he comes very close to the fire of Jahannam. Now look at the effect of this, that this sin is having. That it is taking him to the fire of hell and distancing him from Jannat. Whereas the mu'min and the Muslim, he should be on the road that takes him to Jannat and distances him from the fire of Jahannam. And here it is the opposite now, that because of his sins, this is what he is heading for. So he states in Tanbihul Ghafilin that the fourth thing that happens is that the person now becomes closer to the fire of Jahannam and distances himself from Jannat. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has become displeased with him. Shaitan has become pleased with him. And these are the effects of that. Then he mentions the fifth thing is that it is a cause of hurt and pain to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That this Muslim who is indulging in sins, he must think that I am hurting my beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He who sacrificed so much, every day we listen to sacrifices of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We listen to what he went through in Taif and in Uhud and in Khandaq and so many other places. How much of suffering and how much of difficulties. And especially something that really we cannot even fathom and understand is the 3 years of boycott. 3 years. It was as if it is total imprisonment. Of whom? Of the greatest after Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. لا يمكن الصنا كما كان حقه بعد خدا بزرگ تو یہ قصہ مختصر. Now for whose sake was he going through all that? For the sake of the ummah that was going to come till the day of Qiyamah. So that if they have to experience this type of imprisonment, whether it's in Guantanamo Bay or it is in one of the prisons of Afghanistan or Pakistan or Africa or America or Europe or anywhere else, sometimes these people are arrested and they are innocent. Their only sin is that they are calling towards Allah and His Mubarak Deen. So then they read these incidents and they get some sort of consolation. My beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam underwent such kind of hardships and difficulties. So it makes it easier for them to make sabr. But once again I repeat that we rather be mazloom but never be a zalim. You rather be a mazloom upon whom injustice has been done, but never become the zalim. Do injustice upon others. If we are going to do that, then definitely Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will hold back His rahmat, His nusrat, and His help. Now wherever you go, they ask you this question, the non-Muslims, especially when you're traveling in the aeroplanes, at the airports, here and there, if somebody's sitting next to you, what do you have to say about the bombs in Britain? What do you have to say about this and that? So these people are giving different kinds of responses. I don't know what their responses are. But when I am asked, I say one thing very clearly. And I truly believe what I say. I tell them that look, Bush and Blair, they were merciless. When they threw those bombs in Afghanistan and in Iraq, and in other places, hundreds of thousands of people, young, old, women, children, you don't know how much of bloodshed. And look at the effects of that gas, and the effects of those toxins, and the effect of all those bombs, even long after they were detonated. Whether it was in Hiroshima and Nagasaki, or the recent bombs, wherever you look at it. How many thousands of people were injured? So many were not even able to get any kind of hospitalization or treatment in hospitals. The hospitals too were bombed. What was done to them was nothing but barbaric to the extreme. So at that time the world didn't cry. They were not concerned. They considered that life to be very cheap because it was of a Muslim. So when they did that, we did not praise Bush and Blair for their bravery, that they did a wonderful thing. We condemned it and we still condemn it and we say that they should have never done that because there will be a reaction. So that wasn't right what they did. First you tell them that. But thereafter I say, if a Muslim has to just blow up a bus or a restaurant or a train, then even that is not justified. We say that the person must fight the soldiers of that those countries which have fought against them. Fight their soldiers, fight their infrastructure, do something else. But don't just blow up buses and blow up trains and blow up innocent people, little children, women, young and old. That Islam doesn't allow. And we consider that to be injustice. Now, when I mentioned this in Zambia, then one person afterwards, he said, no, but the thing is that they did these things to our children and to our women folk. So it's fully justified. Now, if you are going to justify it, then I asked a simple question. I said, that train which was blown to pieces, or blasted, or bombed, that train was traveling from point A to B. And in London, whether it's the rich or the poor, whether it is Maulana Saab or Mufti Saab or Waliullah Saab or Tablighi Jamaat or Mashaikh of our times, they also use those trains, the same trains, the underground trains. We also use the same thing when we go to England most of the time. That is the transport that we use. Now, if it was a Muslim who blew it up, and if in that train there were some walis of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala traveling, then can you imagine the consequences? However, I tell them, so that's the second thing, that if a Muslim has done that, then definitely we don't justify it. We do not condone it, if a Muslim had to blow it up. However, the third point I tell them is this, that up till now it is not proven that it is a Muslim who has really done that. Just to see on the CCTV that there are young people with some backpacks and they are moving. I say, like that I can show you in any train and any bus. So many youth, and they can be friends, and all of them can have the same kind of bags because they are traveling out together. So there's no conclusive evidence that it has been done by some Muslim. Said when in America it happened, because this question was asked at least a dozen times in the recent trips. I said, in America, I was supposed to be on that same route, that same Los Angeles route, and on the same day also. So you would have seen in that film that there was one person with white kurta and beard and topi, and he had one briefcase too. That's all you can see there. So he was definitely one of the terrorists too. That's what you will say. But the point that I was trying to get across is that when we will make zulm, if it is Muslims, I don't say they are Muslims, I don't know. But if a Muslim has to do it, then definitely Allah Ta'ala will then hold back his rahmat. Because now you have become the zalim. We don't know how many innocent people you have blown. And to say that if they kill our children, we must kill their children, that is not Islam, that is not Sharia, that is not Quran, that is not Sunnah. When the Muslims were at war with the Kuffar and the Mushrikeen and the Yahud and the Nasara, they all had congregated, they all had made their alliances. At that time, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam still said that don't kill the little children, don't kill the women folk, don't burn the animals, and don't do this and don't do that, and don't even kill the rabbis if they are not actively involved. So many other things. When did he say it? When it was peace and aman, or at the time of war? So in this way, what happens is that you present the true picture of Islam. That a Muslim does not go and harm without justification anybody. But when his religion is suppressed, he is not allowed to practice, and he is being attacked, then at that time he will also fight back. He is going to fight back with whatever he has at his power. But still he is not going to cause harm to little children and women without justification. I don't know how we went there, but in any case we were talking about Allah Ta'ala will hold back his rahmat. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala holds back his rahmat when he becomes displeased. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's displeasure, yes, we are talking that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Now, the effect of sin is that it causes him grief and sorrow because he is informed about the state of his ummah. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is informed. So when he is given that information that your ummah, they are indulging in these type of sins, then imagine Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam who sacrificed so much for us, what kind of hurt and pain we are causing to him. That ummah for whom I cried so much, that ummah for whom so much of my blood was shed, that ummah for whom I was so concerned day and night, and this is their response to my sacrifices. So he said, this is another effect of those sins. Then he said, the person is doing injustice to his own self. The person is doing injustice to his own soul when he is committing sin. This is what he is doing. He is not harming Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He is harming himself, his own soul. Therefore, Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, what did he say? Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna min al-khasirin. We have done injustice upon ourselves. At the end of the salat, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, out of his many duas, one of the duas is, Allahumma inni zulamtu nafsi zulman kathira. Now what zulm did we do? Now he was teaching us a lesson. So when a person sins, when a person disobeys Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then he is doing injustice upon himself. He is the one that's going to suffer the consequences. So why cause hurt and pain and harm to one's own self? Because the azab will come on himself. So he is doing injustice to his own soul. Allah Ta'ala would have blessed him with ni'mats, with rahmat, with barakat and everything else. But now because of his sins, the barakat is taken away from his risk and sustenance. And so many different kinds of azab and restlessness and anxieties and worries and problems that he is going to face. So he has done injustice upon himself. He has harmed himself. Each item we can discuss at length, but let's go on to the next one. Then he says that the eighth one is this, that this person's heart becomes impure, it becomes napak. The heart becomes napak with sins. The effect is that the heart becomes napak. So many young people, without exaggeration I'm telling you, so many young people, the major problem that they are having today, after they decide to give up sins, or when they want to give up those porn movies and the filthy films and everything else, now when they decide that we want to change, then the biggest problem is that those pictures are stuck and glued to their hearts. Like that, they were always faced with it. When they were not giving it up, at that time it was worse, because they used to watch it and come to salat. Then how many have been seeing those same filthy pictures in the sajda? Said, when we go into sajda, then we see those filthy pictures right in front of our very eyes, those which we saw and came. And when they decide to give it up, then again the reel of the past is replayed by shaitan. And he makes sure that he brings it in front of the person while she is in salat. Now look at the restlessness that he gets because of that. And that in sajda, now what is he watching? So the heart becomes napak. You can buy some soap and some detergent and some powder and go and wash the clothes if there's some dirt, and it's easy. But when you make tawbah and istighfar, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala forgives that sin. But many a times those pictures don't go away just like that. Great effort will now have to be made to wipe them out from the heart. The heart becomes napak. I mentioned on some previous occasion that when we were walking in Mitchell Park early in the morning, and at that time I told the friends that, look, there's nothing wrong. Walk in this park, breathe the fresh air, enjoy the oxygen. And now when I went to Zambia, one house I went, they said, Molna, this is Copra Park. Another house I went, this is a Methi Park. And that host of mine, that, when I went to this place, he said, Molna, this is something very special, this is Dodi Park. So I said, yeah, also you've got a lot of different kinds of parks. So no problem, eat the Methi Park, Copra Park, Dodi Park, all kinds of park. And take a walk in all the different parks that you have here. But keep your eyes parked, keep your tongues parked, keep your ears parked, keep your hands and feet parked, keep your hearts parked. Keep these things parked, then after that you can eat in any kind of park and walk in any kind of park. So the heart becomes napak and impure. And this heart is the place where the tajalli of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is supposed to descend. Again, that example of our Hazrat. He says, would you make a person sleep in a room in which there are dead dogs and donkeys and monkeys and rats and cats, if you have all kinds of things? Leave all. If you have just one dead dog in a room and you call your honored guest and say that, Hazrat, this is the room we have reserved for you to sleep here. Nobody will put a person in a room in which there are dead animals, carcasses of filth and stench and smell. bad odor, you wouldn't put your guest there, honored guest, to sleep in there. So this heart, we want Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's tajalli. We want Allah ta'ala's muhabbat. We want Allah ta'ala to come into our hearts. We say, oh Allah, become ours and make us yours. But in the heart, we have got all these different kinds of dead things lying in there. The stench and the filth of riya, of ghibat, of jealousy, of envy, of malice, of greed, of pride, of arrogance, all the filth that we have got in our hearts. Now we say, oh Allah, come into our hearts. Meaning Allah Ta'ala's tajalli, so how can it come in there? So sins, this is what it does, that it makes our heart napak, impure. And then after that, that person cannot see correctly. He begins to enjoy the evil after that. After that, he gets enjoyment in evil because the heart has become pitch black. Once it becomes pitch black, then finished. That spot on the heart, if the person makes sincere tawbah straight away, then it's wiped out. But if not, then finally it covers the whole heart. And then this person's heart is sealed. Then he will enjoy sins and he may even give up his iman, Islam, and he will think nothing of it until when death will come. Because now he's been in a state of chloroform. Once the person is given chloroform, then the person doesn't know what is happening. And he's enjoying it. Sometimes he says he's enjoying it. But when he'll come to his senses, then he'll realize what all those cuts and bruises and all the slicing and cutting and whatever they did, what kind of pain it brings. So the heart, we have to look after it. Physical heart, we worry so much about it. And yet death will come one day. And there's nothing wrong, we must worry about it because an amanat, our body is an amanat, it's a trust from Allah Ta'ala. If the government has to give somebody a vehicle and say, use this for certain purposes, and this person doesn't check the petrol, oil, water, nothing, and then if he has to damage that vehicle, then he will be charged for that. So the Muslim also, his body is an amanat. He must not destroy it with drugs and with drink and with cigarettes and with all kinds of other haram. So nevertheless, that is another thing that it does, that it makes the heart impure. And once the heart becomes impure, then all the actions of that person will be always in the line of evil. Because the heart is the king. And once the heart orders, then that's when all the other parts of the body, they behave, or they follow, or they obey. So the heart will tell the eyes, now look at haram, so it will look. The heart will tell the ears, listen to haram, it will listen. Steal, it will steal. Fraud, commit zina, commit adultery, whatever it is now, because the heart has become filthy and impure. And it has reached a stage of decay. So this is the effect of that sin. And lastly, he says that this person who is committing sins, he is doing great injustice to the entire creation of Allah Ta'ala. Why? Because this person who is committing sins, he is the means, or he has become the means of the azab of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala coming down onto the earth. Whether it's a tsunami, or whether it's earthquakes, or whether it is gale force winds, or whether it is destruction through anything else that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala sends as an azab, then that azab comes because people in that area, in that locality, are indulging in zina, in stealing, in taking of interest, giving of interest. They are indulging in all kinds of sins and vices and evils. Now those are the things that brings the azab of Allah Ta'ala. Now who became the means of large number of people suffering? The good and the bad in this world, they all suffer. If there is gale force winds and the infrastructure has been damaged, no lights, no water. We know we had floods here in Durban some years back, and all the water restrictions that were placed, and people, multi-millionaires, had to queue up behind water trucks to go and receive a few liters of water. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, when his azab will come, then so many people, so many animals, so many creatures, so many human beings, so many Muslims and non-Muslims, and even the pious and the righteous, they will now suffer because of those sins of the sinners. So look at the injustice that we have done to so many people and the harm that we have caused to them. We became the means of their suffering. And on the other hand, if all of us, if all Muslims, because Allah Ta'ala looks at the Muslims, the non-Muslims, whatever they are doing, it is Jannat on earth for them. They are not going to be questioned about that. They will be questioned about their Iman, that why didn't you bring Iman? And their punishment will be for everlasting, will be everlasting in the fire of Jahannam. So we must not look at them, that they are doing this, they are doing that. They will do it. It was our duty to give them Islam and give them Iman. But we are spending so much of our time, what do we do when our own house is not in order? Of course, that doesn't mean that if our house is not in order, we mustn't invite them. Because amongst them, they could turn out to be great, great ulama, mashayikh, and walis of Allah Ta'ala, and pious, pious people. But at the same time, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala looks at the Muslims. What is he doing? The ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. There are many, many people taking drugs. And many parents know about it, that so many people in the society are taking drugs. But the truth is that it doesn't hurt them so much. If you have to really ask them, most of the time it is just by way of comment or some kind of information or news that they are saying that lots of people are taking drugs. But it doesn't really cause them the deep pain and hurt as it would cause when the person discovers that my beloved blue-eyed son is also very, very heavily involved in drugs. When he gets to know that, that my beloved son is deeply involved in drugs, now see how this father gets excited. Why? Because it is his beloved son. Now he's making dua also, and he's asking somebody to counsel him, and he's going here, and he's going there, and sending him to the rehab, and whatever he can do, he tries to do. And also now he controls his tongue a little because his own son is involved. But the thing is that now it really hurts him. That the son that I loved and I gave him cars and I gave him money and I gave him everything and this is what he was doing. He was stealing my own money and then he was buying drugs and doing all the wrong things. So now it hurts the father. Now this is just by way of example. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, it's not like the father. That father cannot do many things. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala can do many things. Nevertheless, now here, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is also looking at the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and say, this is the ummah of my beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasalam. They are mine. Therefore Allah Ta'ala says, فَدْخُلِي فِي عِبَادِي وَدْخُلِي جَنَّتِي. Enter into my servants, my ibad, who were mine on earth. They were not tempted by all the things that were around. They did not become the slaves of their nafs and slaves of shaitan. They did not give themselves into all the temptations that were around them. They controlled their gazes and their heart and their hands and their feet and everything from haram. They are mine. Now you enter into Jannat, first go and meet all my servants. My bandas, meet them. فَدْخُلِي فِي عِبَادِي وَدْخُلِي جَنَّتِي. Enter my Jannat. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, He sends down the azab because of the Muslims who are indulging in all kinds of sins and vices. So imagine how much of hurt and injury and destruction we become the cause of when we are indulging in sins. So this is what Islahi programs are all about. We can speak philosophical things and many, many things. But you come here for Islah, then keep these things in mind. The next time that we are tempted to commit some sin, then think that what will it be doing to me? I will be displeasing my Allah. I will be pleasing shaitan. I will be distancing myself from Jannat. I will be coming close to the fire of Jahannam. I will be doing injustice upon myself. I will be causing my heart to become impure. Now all these type of things we have to keep in front of us. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give me, give you and the entire ummah the tawfiq of amal. Amal se banti hai zindagi, ye jannat bhi, jahannam bhi, ye khaki apni fitrat mein na noori hai na nari. And just a little amal in these days, and Allah Ta'ala gives so much, so much. Just a little. Because Allah Ta'ala knows we are living in an environment that's full of sin and vices and evils, and the temptations are so great. Now that young person who that tries to restrain himself and take that pain on his heart and be and for the pleasure of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, he destroys those evil pleasures to smithereens, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is also so loving, so merciful, so kind, so forgiving. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala makes that young person, an old person, and anybody, man or woman, Allah Ta'ala then makes them his. That is what we mean by agar ek tu nahi mera to koi shay nahi meri. Jo tu mera to sab mera, falak mera, zameen meri. Then wherever he goes, Allah Ta'ala opens the doors of respect, of dignity, of honor. Allah Ta'ala's ni'mat and bounties begin to flow. And even if he doesn't have of the material kind, Allah Ta'ala gives him the spiritual happiness. And that is what true contentment and happiness is all about. And it's not something impossible. That is one thing we must get out of our heads, that it's impossible. In these days, Maulana, how can we ever become walis of Allah Ta'ala? It's impossible. It's not impossible. If it was impossible, Allah Ta'ala wouldn't have revealed those verses. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna. لنكونن من الخاسرين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أكرم الأكرمين يا غياث المستغيثين يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا ذا الجلال والإكرام ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما. Forgive our sins, our major sins, minor sins, sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly, sins that we committed in the light of day or darkness of night. Sins of our eyes, of our ears, of our tongues, of our hands and feet, of our heart and mind. My beloved Allah, by sinning we harmed no one but ourselves. We did injustice upon our own souls. We distanced ourselves from you. We became the means of your displeasure. Our sins became the means of getting closer to the fire of Jahannam. It became the means of distancing us from the ni'mats of Jannat. My beloved Allah, but we are ashamed of those sins. We are not happy. We are not bragging about our sins. We are not advertising our sins. It gives us no happiness and no pleasure, my beloved Allah. We are ashamed that day and night we used your bounties for your disobedience. My beloved Allah, you could have seized us there and then. You could have sent gale force winds against us. You could have caused the earth to tremor and shake and swallow us up. You could have sent the cyclones against us. Oh, my beloved Allah, you could have destroyed us in many ways. But how kind you are, how forgiving you are, how loving you are, how tolerant you are, how merciful you are, how compassionate you are, how beautiful you are. My Allah, become ours and make us yours. Hamara ban ja aur hame apna bana le. Ya Allah, cast your tajalli into our hearts. Purify and clean our hearts of malice, of greed, of pride, of arrogance, of evil passions and desires. May Allah, make us the hearts of the awliya-i siddiqeen. Oh, my Allah, we know we are not deserving, but out of your power of jazm, make us all yours. Draw us towards you, my Allah. Remove the difficulties, the hardships, the problems, the trials, the tribulations, the suffering of the entire mankind. Ya Allah, bless each and every one with hidayat. Bless each and every one with Islam and Iman. We are the cause of people staying away from Islam and Iman. Ya Allah, have mercy upon the Ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Ya Allah, remove the difficulties of the Ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Ya Allah, have mercy upon the Ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Forgive the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh, my beloved Allah, change the condition of the Ummah. Ya Allah, we have distanced ourselves from you and gained nothing except anxieties, worries, problems, and all kinds of hardships. Oh, my beloved Allah, bless us with the best of dunya and the best of akhirah. Those who are sick and ailing, give them shifa from all their ailments, sicknesses and diseases. Ya Allah, those who are in financial difficulties, remove their difficulties. Those who are weak, give them strength. Those who have no children, bless them with pious and righteous children. Those whom you have given children, make them nek, salih. Ya Allah, make them obedient to you, to your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to their parents. Let the winds of Hidayat blow throughout the continents. O my beloved Allah, those who are in search of marriage partners, bless them with compatible marriage partners who will be an assistance to their deen. Ya Allah, if you are ours, then everything is ours. If you are not ours, nothing is ours. Become ours and make us yours. Koi mujhse pooche main kya mangta hoon. कोई मुझसे पूछे मैं क्या मांगता हूँ मैं अपने खुदा से खुदा मांगता हूँ वो हो जाए मेरा मैं हो जाऊँ उसका यही रात दिन में दुआ मांगता हूँ या अल्लाह व्हेन द टाइम ऑफ आवर डेथ कम्स टेक अस टू मदीना तैयबा डोंट लेट द एंजल ऑफ डेथ फाइंड अस इन एनी काइंड ऑफ हराम एक्शन टेक अस टू मदीना तैयबा ब्लेस अस विद शहादत इन मदीना तैयबा ब्लेस अस विद बरियल इन जन्नतुल बकी Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, all his life he made du'as for us. All the goodness that he asked for us, bless us with that goodness. Bless our parents, wives and children and the ummah with that goodness. And from all the mischief, corruption and fitnas that he asked for protection, protect us and the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim. Watub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله